Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, Dino Babers, head coach of the Syracuse Orange football team for the first time in a long time as a preseason top 25 squad. We'll talk to Coach Babers about this amazing turnaround, a 10-win season last year when they had just 4-win seasons before that, and whether they can follow that up with another successful campaign in Central New York. Dino Babers coming up here on the show in approximately 35 minutes from now as we start circling college football. Little reminder, Sunday morning football begins week one of the NFL season. Week one of the NFL season is episode one of Sunday morning football, where I break down what happened on college football Saturdays and preview NFL Sundays. It'll be 10 until noon Eastern time, 1 hour later than the previous years, to seamlessly tie into your NFL pregame shows that begin so many places at noon Eastern. This hour will also hear from Nick Saban on the cries that college football and football in general is a quote-unquote dangerous game. But I want to begin with the Heisman odds. Heisman odds heavily stacked towards the quarterbacks. In fact, the first non-quarterback is Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor, which is nearly outside the top 10. So the first 7 or 8 best odds on winning the Heisman are all quarterbacks. Well, that's smart because in the last decade, there's only been one non-QB win the Heisman. That was Derrick Henry in 2015. In the last 10 years, here are your Heisman winners. Cam Newton, RG3, Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. So if you were a betting man or a betting woman, you would definitely say, okay, the odds are it's going to be a QB. That seems fair. Now, the best odds to win the Heisman, Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback Alabama, has the best odds. Behind him, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback at Clemson. That seems pretty obvious. They're the two highest odds. Then comes Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, who has transferred from Georgia. Then comes Jalen Hurts, who's now quarterback at Oklahoma, who transfers from Alabama. Then, quarterback Adrian Martinez from Nebraska, followed by Jake Fromm, quarterback at Georgia, Sam Ellinger, quarterback at Texas. Then we get to Jonathan Taylor. You have to go all the way to nearly outside the top 10 to get to who I believe is a top 3 candidate to win the Heisman, Justin Herbert at Oregon. Now, I find this pretty wild that Herbert is not higher. I understand Tua and Trevor Lawrence. There is so much hype on Alabama and Clemson. Obviously, those two guys dueled last year in the national championship game. I actually would make Trevor Lawrence the favorite to win the Heisman, slightly over Tua. Right now, the odds are Tua slightly over Trevor Lawrence. But I think Lawrence has the ability to put up some crazy numbers. He's going to play in an offense and on a team that's not going to get much of a push for the rest of the ACC, maybe outside of that game when they go to the Carrier Dome to play the Syracuse Orange in the Syracuse home opener, but they're not going to be pushed much on their schedule, whereas Tua in an SEC schedule playing LSU, playing Texas A&M, playing Auburn in the Iron Bowl at Auburn, playing in the SEC title game against potentially Georgia. There's going to be a lot of challenges there, and it's not like Tua's been perfect. I mean, we saw what Georgia did last year in the SEC title game to Tua. So I would make Trevor Lawrence my number one best odds to win the Heisman. He would be my favorite. But somewhere in the top three or four need to be Herbert. Herbert might have been the number one pick in the NFL draft this year. He's got a big arm. He's got the size. He's got the ability that NFL scouts love. They drool over. And let's face it, Mario Cristobal loved the idea of Justin Herbert coming back. And Herbert was amazing in this, such long stretches of last year. It should only now follow. And when I look at Oregon's schedule as well, I'm seeing a Pac-12 that, yeah, there's a lot of teams bunched together. And Oregon might not be the premier team like they used to be. And no, they're not going to throw the ball 75 times a game like they did under Chip Kelly. But Herbert's going to have a lot of chances to put up a lot of yards in a conference that's going to benefit him. There's a couple of tough games on the schedule for the Ducks, but none so much that he's going to have a bunch of potential pitfalls just by looking at the schedule. I think there's three games that you circle that could be tough for Herbert. Number one is going to come up in week number one when they play Auburn in the Dallas game. They then will go to Stanford and have to go to Seattle to take on the Huskies. And Washington might be the best team in the Pac-12. So two tough road games and a tough neutral site game. But I don't think the Ducks have to go undefeated for Herbert to win the Heisman. I think that, you know, if he's got glitzy numbers and Herbert kind of captures that look that we know is supposed to be the way the Heisman Trophy quarterback looks, and maybe that's changed a little bit over the years, but Herbert should be in this conversation. And I think Oregon should be in the conversation of winning the Pac-12 with anybody else. But I think it's crazy. I can't wait to see what Herbert does. I think it's crazy that he's barely in the top 10 of Heisman odds. And I'll tell you, I think a big reason is simply because the spotlight of the Pac-12 has dwindled so dramatically. With USC being down, and with Oregon being down from where it was at its peak, there are not the premier matchups on national TV in regularly televised middle-of-the-day windows that the nation at large pays attention. There's Pac-12 Networks games. There's games late at night in difficult-to-watch television windows, and I'm not excusing this for voters, because if you're a voter, you should be well up-to-date on everything. I mean, I do Sunday morning football every week. It was beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and I made sure I was up until the last snap of the last Pac-12 game every single Saturday night. So this is not an excuse. But I think that as a whole, the conference is not one that people salivate over. Oh, we got to see this game. We got to see this matchup. There's none of those really dramatic matchups now that Oregon and USC are down. And so because of that, I think people just don't focus on the conference as a whole so much. You know, in the SEC, let's face it, there's going to be, you'll probably, even if you're just a casual football fan, you'll probably watch Tua play six times this season. You'll probably watch him play half of his season. For Trevor Lawrence, Clemson's going to play a lot of primetime games in the middle of the perfect window for people to either watch in the middle of the day Saturday or at 7 o'clock Eastern time on a Saturday. So you're going to watch a lot of Trevor Lawrence. Ohio State's always in those windows as well. Ohio State's going to play a lot of games that are just going to be on your TV. You'll watch Justin Fields. But Oregon may not. It may not, just because you're not going to see those next level spotlight games. That's going to hurt him, but I think it's crazy for him not to be in the top 10, because he's going to have, in my estimation, a phenomenal year. 855-212-4CBS. on Twitter, DA on CBS. It is time for Trashes. Dixieland Dan is next up. He's listening at radio.com and our toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. What's going on, Dixieland Dan? Who are you trashing?
Man, what's going on, D.A.? How are you today, brother?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, I can't complain. Ain't nobody going to listen to me. Oh, wait. Yes, you will. Y'all will listen to me.
That's right. We will.
Look here. I got a little advice for Mraz. Mraz, listen to me here, buddy. Keep a bottle of whiskey while you're renovating this house very close and very handy. So that way, whenever stuff starts to go wrong, you just take that to the head, drink about half of it. That way, whenever you hit yourself in the head with that hammer, it won't hurt near as bad, and it'll be a little bit funnier.
Good advice.
But look here. We was out to supper on Friday night, and sitting at the table, me and my wife, my daughter, my mother and father. Guy sits down about, I don't know, two tables down. Turn and look. He's up, propped his feet up in the chair next to me. And this dude's wearing jeans and flip-flops. I'm like, really, dude?
Oh.
Then I get to looking. This cat's toes and feet were so, a little hobbit-looking feet, freaking hair going everywhere, looked like little bitty sausage links sticking out the end of his foot. Then I got to looking. Dude, his freaking toenails looked like goddamn eagle talons. He looked like he could swoop down a lake and catch a fish, take it home, and clean it and eat it.
Oh.
Really terrible. Guys, we're not designed to wear open-toed shoes. We're supposed to wear closed-toed shoes because we don't take care of our feet. Women take care of their feet, so they can freaking wear that stuff, and we cannot. If you've got freaking nasty, hobbit-looking ogre feet, you just put you on a pair of boots and go out to dinner and get your feet out of the freaking chair. I don't want them that close to me anyway.
All right, trash them. That's pretty gross. The open-toed talons that are sticking up in flip-flops and the feet are up on the chair, especially at a dinner place, that's heinous. Reed is next up. He's in Kentucky listening at and watching at watchda.com. Good morning, Reed.
D.A., can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir.
All right. Over the weekend, I have to trash my wife's driving. What should be a quick one-hour all-interstate trip. We bounced from rumble strips to median more than a ball from a 1991 Monday Night Football pinball machine. Back and forth all over the lanes. Oh, her driving is atrocious.
Trasher! Adriana tweets, D.A. Mraz's life is ending and Pete the Body is sitting in a park watching birds. I am dying here. Where's the jam? Patrick tweets, I'm dying laughing and making fun of Mraz as a neighbor, making him sound like Andrew Dice Clay. All that's missing is the A over here. Paul tweets, really, D.A., another short work week for you? You know, I've been getting this a lot here. I don't remember the promo saying listen to the D.A. show 3 or 4 times a week on CBS Sports Radio. You can't spell damn you take a lot of vacation without the D and the A. Get you out. Hashtag trash you. Okay, all right, fine. I deserve that. Okay, fine. I've heard your pleas. I've got one more long weekend coming up this week, and then that's it. Then I'm here for good. And you'll be sorry when I'm in here 6 days a week until Christmas time. You're going to be sorry. In fact, it's going to be longer than that. I've got all 5 shows from now until eternity, and then Sunday morning football. I'm working Labor Day. You'll be sorry. You'll wish I was on vacation for little Jody Mack. You'll wish you got a black lung cough every so often. You wish you had Gresh yelling at you, telling you you were a buffoon. You wish. That sounded gross. Marty tweets, I'm listening on radio.com in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm trashing my girlfriend who decided to, quote, organize and rearrange my kitchen while I wasn't home. I'm trying to eat some hot flapjacks and can't find the damn syrup. Hashtag get her out. Hashtag where's the damn syrup? Keep sending us your trashes, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, as part of the best audio of the day, Nick Saban on whether football is still dangerous And calls of Cliff Kingsbury's offense being for, quote, pretty boys. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
I am happy, okay? I get to come to work every day. I laugh. I watch sports. You know, I pass gas. I eat.
Sure.
I'm a man, all right? I like my life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, that's always important. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on all of our wonderful affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, channel 206. Also, you can watch us at watchda.com, stream us at radio.com or other places that radio is streamed on your phone, including Apple Music and the CBS Sports app. And you can tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. The game plan for success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team and their plan for success. How about the Miami Hurricanes and Florida Gators kicking off the 150th college football season on Saturday night? For the Hurricanes, quarterback Jaren Williams, the new starting QB. The strength of the Gators comes from their secondary. They'll be in the national spotlight as the Gators are a top 10 preseason team. First team preseason All-SEC quarterback, cornerback C.J. Henderson, and former freshman All-SEC corner Marco Wilson returning from injury. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise in parts that you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. Buff Bill tweets, I'm trashing lollygagging drivers who ride together in both lanes. You're clogging up traffic. Hashtag get them out. Hashtag clear it.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
It clears it. It clears it.
You know what that makes you? A lollygagger. Evan tweets, I'm trashing the preseason polls. Not a down of football has been played, but somehow people know how good these teams are. Preseason polls are useless. Trash them.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
I agree. The preseason college football polls and preseason college basketball polls are really silly, and they're detrimental to the game because you are now locked into the expectation of what you should be. And it's very hard to get knocked out of the preseason expectation. It guides where you are for the entire year. And it's problematic. Now, on the one hand, it does help give people context. If you didn't have that, people might not know how good anybody's supposed to be. But what are you basing this on? These are college football teams that have a roster that changes every single year. The idea that you could really guess preseason-wise where teams are, number 12, number 14, number 22, number 40, I mean, it's all just kind of stupid to really think about it. Rocksteady tweets, DA, I'm trashing Canadian geese, blocking the road as I'm trying to get to work. Hashtag get them out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Quack. Jay tweets, I'm trashing people who walk down the middle of a parking lot aisle with their back to traffic. When it's one way and you can't go around them, hashtag trash them.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Ricky tweets, I'm trashing you, DA, for yesterday's episode when Mraz said it's electric, and then you started singing The Hustle instead of The Electric Slide without knowing. Hashtag get them out.
Stinky debris.
And it's electric.
You know, now you're really splitting hairs here. So I hummed The Hustle, which is pretty close to The Electric Slide.
It's electric.
It's pretty close. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Dear Nick Saban, question, is football dangerous?
Player safety is the number one thing that, you know, we're always concerned about in terms of the way we practice, the things that we do with our players. That's number one. And I don't think football is a dangerous game, but you have to do it correctly. You have to play safely. You got to keep your face up. You can't put your head down.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you could say that it's not a dangerous game is pretty crazy. because while it is safer than ever before, and while I'm sure, I totally trust Nick Saban is about player safety, every coach I think nowadays has to be, I think it's utterly insane the idea that it's not dangerous. I mean, we have high school kids that, I hate to say consistently, but pretty consistently pass away every summer from heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And we've had players consistently come out of their sport with banged up bodies and banged up bones and banged up brains. So the idea that it's not dangerous is kind of silly. It ain't bowling here. Christian Kirk is a Cardinals wide receiver. Some have called Cliff Kingsbury offense for pretty boys.
I mean, it is what it is. Just because we don't line up with two tight ends and run the ball, I mean, I guess we're pretty boys now. But, you know, I guess we'll have to show how pretty we are this season. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the problem is that Cliff Kingsbury is a pretty boy. He's literally a pretty boy. He's a very handsome man. At times, distractingly so. And it's hard to take a football coach seriously that's so damn handsome. Now, this offense, which has heavy spread concepts, which works in college football, can it work in the NFL? Certainly some have already. Some spread concepts have worked very well in the NFL. But here's the deal. The Cardinals can laugh all they want about, oh, I guess we're not pretty boys. I guess we are pretty boys. Uh-huh. Let's see you win football games with it. And if Kyler Murray and that offense puts up 38 points a game, then pretty boy offense is wonderful. But if you end up going 4-12 and teams are smacking you around, well, then being a pretty boy is not going to be that great. Look, there is a stigma in the old school NFL, just like there was in college football, putting your knuckles in the dirt and smashing helmets together and shoulder pads. That's the way that many people were raised and brought up, especially coaches in football these days. But if it works, it works. Who cares? But, you know, you can't laugh at being a pretty boy if you end up going 2-14, which the Cardinals might. And finally, Aaron Rodgers will not play in the preseason.
Kind of right where I always am. The practices are so much more important than the preseason. The looks that we see, like on a day like today, are invaluable reps. It's, you know, an attacking defense. It's different fronts. It's different pressures.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't need preseason. No starting quarterbacks at his level will. And this is the reason that the preseason's dumb and needs to be eliminated or at least shortened, because now we just have four, in some cases five, meaningless preseason games per team that the starters don't play because they have a fear of getting injured, and it's just basically trying to figure out who's going to be on special teams. And we don't need four quarters of four preseason games to decide that. And that is your sound check. Kyle tweets, I'm trashing my coworker who calls out at least once a week. Hashtag lazy people, hashtag take a lap. Mraz, as the resident lazy guy on this staff, where do you stand on somebody who calls out at least once a week?
I kind of respect it because okay. You should never give days back. So as long as you don't go over your allotted days, if your company's going to give you a certain amount of sick days, I say use them. Don't give anything back to the company.
What happens if you're not sick, though?
I think to an extent.
And you're faking it.
But to an extent, everybody doesn't feel great all the time. So
okay.
I think even a fake, you can make some kind of element. Like today, I kind of have a headache. I guess I could have called out if I really wanted to. I didn't. But I respect that. If you feel like I do today, I'd call out. So, look, again, don't give your company back days. I can't preach that. Your company wants to give you 50 sick days, take one a week.
Jake tweets, I'm trashing my hangover. Please, DA, stop yelling into the microphone. Sorry.
Stinky debris.
We gotta be quiet for Jake.
What did he do on a Monday night?
Dark night. Well, I guess he watched that thrilling Monday night football game.
Go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch Garoppolo not complete a pass.
Foxy tweets, hey, DA, can I get a Trash Tuesday for all those fans that think you can judge quarterbacks in NFL preseason games? Hashtag get him out. Hashtag am I right?
Warm, sizzling garbage.
The Giants nailed this. They nailed it.
Foxy is definitely right. When we come back here on the show, Dino Babers, head coach of the Syracuse Orange. They're a preseason top 25 team coming off a 10-win season. Where did that come from, and can they do an encore? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that, big boy?
First of all, I just want to tell you how much I love your show. It's a huge part of my day. You guys are awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you, and you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our wonderful affiliates nationwide and into Canada on SiriusXM Channel 206 as well. The Syracuse Orange had a huge season last year, finishing 10-3 and number 15 overall in the final AP poll. Head coach Dino Babers has the second favorite in the ACC to come back and do big things again, according to the preseason ACC media poll. Joining us here on the show is Coach Babers. Coach, it's always good to catch up. How you doing?
How are you doing, DA? How's everything going? Go Orange, baby.
Everything is great, man. Go Orange. I'm excited for the first time in a long time where I have all my friends who are alumni and Syracuse fans talking football months before the season. I mean, this is an exciting time for you. Is this what you envisioned when you took over and had the optimism that a lot of other people did not?
You know, I just think that this is a special place. It's always had a history of being fantastic on the gridiron, and I don't see why we can't bridge that path to what's going on in the present so we can have a fantastic future.
You know, there's been hype building for months since the schedule came out about the Clemson game because of how well you played them down there at Death Valley last year, because they are the barometer in the ACC and really nationally as well. That hype surrounded this Clemson game at the Carrier Dome. Does this validate what you preach to your players and what you have preached to your players about the special potential that the program has for years?
You know, I think what it does, it really tells the fans and the community and the university, you know, what we're capable of doing when we're all working together. I mean, Clemson is a fantastic football team, and obviously based off of what happened last year, they don't lose very often. They're well-coached, they have fantastic athletes, and they run really complicated schemes. But if you stay together and you don't care who gets the credit, you know, every once in a while, you know, David gets to slay Goliath.
You know, you and I have talked annually for a couple of years, and when you first took over, you talked about what the inherent advantage of the Carrier Dome could be. Fast track, controlled conditions, you can get athletes from a lot of places, and say you never have to play outdoors, especially in the ACC, a lot of warm weather road games. And you guys were perfect last year at the Carrier Dome. Is that one of those things where you go, see, this is what I'm talking about, this is what we can do inside our own Loud House?
Well, I don't know about all that. I like to believe I'm humble and meek. But I really do think that we're unique. We're the only Division I Power 5 program with a dome. It replicates what happens in the National Football League if you get an opportunity to play at that level. And when you talk about perfect weather conditions for the skill kids and the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen, I just think it's something that you can sell in recruiting, and hopefully more and more people will see it my way.
Syracuse head coach Dino Babers joins us this morning on the show. The ACC preseason media poll had you guys picked second of the entire conference. Was that even sooner than you thought was possible when you took the job?
You know, I really do owe a lot to the senior class from last year. I really thought that we're about 1 year ahead of schedule. And I told that senior class that. I said, you guys can either do it now and everybody can remember your name, or we'll have an opportunity to do it a year later. And they said, no, we're going to get it done, Coach. And I'll tell you what, the leadership was unbelievable. And I'm really proud of that class, who had a bunch of different head coaches and a bunch of different assistants coaching them over 4 to 5 years, for what they did and what they've led and the leadership they've given this football team. So my hat goes off to the last year's class, and now we've got to find out this year if we're going to be occasional or consistently good.
Conventional wisdom suggests that you were going to leave for better options, and you decided to sign an extension at Syracuse. What was the biggest reason?
You know, I've said it before. I said Syracuse. Why not Syracuse? I really think that this is a very unique place, and I like playing home games in the snow and not having to play the game in the snow. You know, this is a small city or a big town, and I like to get around in where there's no traffic. So this is, to me, this is a great place. It's a great academic institution. So we really have the the ace card or the trump card over a lot of schools when it comes to academics. And as long as you play a good brand of sports, whether it's football, basketball, lacrosse, whether you play a highly ranked competitive schedule with fantastic academics, I think that this school is really, really unique and it can be really, really special.
Quarterback Tommy DeVito is going to take over at the start of this year from Eric Dungy, and he was maybe your highest profile recruit since you took over, and it was kind of this promise for Orange fans, okay, the program is now attracting top-tier quarterbacks. That's a big deal. Now, zooming forward to now when he's going to be the starter, when you were talking to him on the recruiting trail, are these the type of things that you envisioned that you sold him on?
You know, I think a lot of this stuff, you're like, I didn't sell, you know, Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito and his dad are salt of the earth. And they're guys that just when they give their word, they don't go back on it. And he committed to us when maybe before he became that four-star athlete. And I know that he had SEC offers afterwards, multiple. And he turned them down because he had given his word. And I want nothing but the best for him. I really think he's doing a fantastic job. But to have millennials like that, where their word still matters, to me, that's really, really cool. And I couldn't be more proud of him. And he's been doing a fantastic job with our football team.
Are you confident he is ready for the expectations that come into this season and him being a first-year starter?
I don't know if he's ready, but I do know it's coming.
You know, you preach family a lot, and you have built the program in that image, family, and that you care about the guys and the players care about each other. And you attended your mom's 80th birthday for the first time and maybe forever. You were at her birthday, and you just said this is really important and this is kind of what I'm talking about. Is this the type of example you want to set for your guys, and why is it so important for you to stress family with the program?
Well, you know, first of all, I hadn't been to my mom's birthday in 40 years. Okay, that's how long I had been in.
Yeah.
Not since my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, football. I will say higher being family and football in that order. And it's such a consuming sport. And the guys that you play with, you bonds that you create, they're just not broken over time. I can't tell you. The closest people in my life that are not siblings are members of my football team, whether it was high school, college, or professional. And I think it's like that for a lot of ex-football players. And if you spend so much time here that it's like family, so you might as well treat them that way. And, you know, I've got four daughters and two son-in-laws, but I feel like I have 105 stepsons. And I'm going to treat them all the same, and hopefully every day they'll know how much I love them.
Let me tell you, your mom for 80 looks absolutely amazing. You got some good genetics in that family.
She's got good genes, brother. I only got half of them, but she's got all of hers.
Do you remember her 40th birthday? Do you remember having any images of that back in 79?
Well, knowing her, we probably had a cake. She's really into white cakes.
Uh-huh.
And what do you call those lemon cakes? The lemon cakes with white icing. She really likes those light cakes. But we probably had some birthday candles. Maybe that 4 and that 0 on those candles. All the wax didn't get over the cake. But,
Syracuse is entering this season, coming off a 10-win campaign last year. Big expectations for the Orange. And I speak for a lot of Orange fans and alumni that are really fired up for a football season for the first time in a long time, feeling like, wow, there is big things popping, which is awesome, and they start off with a road trip against Liberty. Not exactly the easiest way to ease into the season, Coach.
No, it's really got me concerned. Hugh Freeze does a fantastic job. Liberty's making the jump up to Division I. They've got a lot of players that are transferring back there. Obviously, we don't have any tape with the turnover of Turner Gill and Hugh Freeze replacing him, and it's a trap game. It's really, really dangerous, and I'm not getting much sleep over that at night.
Yeah. Coach Babers, congratulations on the success thus far, man. It's always been so awesome to catch up with you each and every time we do so. Best of luck, and hopefully we can catch up again this season.
Damon, I tell you what, the one thing that I noticed from last year when we were having a lot of success is I started seeing SU fans coming out of the closet with some gear that I haven't even seen since I've been on campus. Dog, I'm sure you've got that old Letterman sweater or something that you pulled out of the top of the closet, out of the old chest. But you need to upgrade some of that stuff.
I know.
To come buy some of the new stuff or get back here for the homecoming game or something to that effect.
You know me too well. I wasn't around in 87 on campus, but I got an 87 Sugar Bowl t-shirt. So I dust that off every time there's a big game because it's got some good magic in there. But you're right. I got to upgrade the t-shirt collection this summer and now this fall.
Damon, looking forward to seeing you at a game, brother.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Coach Babers.
Thank you, sir.
Head coach Dino Babers, the Syracuse Orange, joining us this morning on the show. Yes, my vintage retro Syracuse t-shirt collection's pretty deep. What I did when I was up at school was I would go to the Salvation Armies or the Goodwills regularly. And remember, this is now the late 90s, early 2000s, so I was still getting content product that was from like the 70s and 80s. Now you're not going to find that anymore. I still try to comb through a Salvation Army or a Goodwill or a secondhand store nowadays, but you're just not going to get that good old, really comfortable, stretchy, vintage, old school 80s. But I got a 1987 Sugar Bowl t-shirt. I've got a 1989 Syracuse basketball going to the Kingdome and the Elite Eight t-shirt. I've got an old Carrier Day t-shirt from the late 80s as well with a really weird-looking Otto the Orange. I got some good stuff and found a Lawrence Moten throwback jersey when it was real, when it was current, when it was that was the player. So I got some good stuff. Dino Babers knows me all too well. But just from a football standpoint at SU, what Babers has been able to do there is capture something that took outside the box thinking. And there just has never been a lot of that was coupled with competence within that athletic department for football. You know, the last glory years of Syracuse football was back in the 90s when it came to Paul Pasqualoni, Donovan McNabb, Marvin Harrison, those teams. And those teams were really good. My first 2 years on campus, 97 and 98, coincided with Donovan McNabb's last 2 years on campus. And SU played in a Fiesta Bowl and played in a Sugar Bowl, or played in an Orange Bowl, rather. And you're talking about 9 and 10 win seasons, 11 win seasons, winning the Big East and going to major bowl games. But you couldn't play that way anymore. And Greg Robinson tried to do a West Coast offense, but he was incompetent. He is a complete and utter football buffoon. He's been fired at every single place that he's ever been employed, and he was terrible. And I'll always, always begrudge Greg Robinson, who I call Grubers, because not only did he rip apart the foundation of what was successful, but he left it in complete tatters for the next guy, which was Doug Marrone. And Marrone wanted to become Smash Mouth and get back to where it was, and that was fine because they needed to build the foundation back up. And so they got to a couple of pinstripe bowls. And that was basically a miracle because they had been going 2-10 and 1-10 under Greg Robinson. Scott Schaefer took over for Marrone after Marrone left. And Schaefer wanted to go ground and pound and defense and run the football. And what Dino Babers did, because he's an outsider, Babers wasn't a Syracuse guy. Babers had waited a long time for his first head coaching gigs. He had not coached in a Power 5 conference. Babers said, I'm going to take air raid concepts from my days at Baylor. I'm going to put them in the ACC, and I will use an outdated facility, the Carrier Dome, as a competitive advantage. What's the use in going ground and pound when you play indoors? There is no use. What he said is, let's throw it. Controlled conditions. It'll never snow indoors. It'll never be windy or rain indoors. No grass. We got artificial turf. Let's throw it. And let's open this thing up. And it worked because you could recruit young Generation Z skill position guys that don't want to play in a snow place or outdoors or have it freezing. So he can go and down and recruit Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas and get kids there. And you know you're going to get stats and you know you're going to get catches. You know you're going to throw the ball. And boom. It started to become a thing, and he's a great marketer, but he's also a good football coach. And so he marketed the team well, and now it's back to being a thing. I mean, 10 wins last year is ridiculous. And the fact that SU is a preseason top 25 team is ridiculous. And the fact that this program is perhaps the second best team in the ACC is a miracle, and that is all Dino Babers. The unexpected moment of the week brought to you by ExxonMobil. It was last night with Jimmy Garoppolo, who returned for the first time to game action since tearing his ACL last year and went 1-for-6 for 0 yards passing and a pick. He posted a 0.0 Blutarski QBR against the Broncos defense, and Jimmy G's making a cool $30 million against the cap this season. Last night, not a promising start. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make that happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. It's college football week here on the show. It Will Muschamp, South Carolina yesterday. Dino Babers, Syracuse today. Tomorrow, Mel Tucker, head coach Colorado. And also coming up here next. Some people think because Clemson and Alabama are so good, the college football is becoming the NBA, where it's very predictable. Is that true? Or just a easy narrative? We'll do that, plus get back to your trashes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.